What's Up Headlines.
All right, we start with the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting that the Raiders are trying to finalize a deal with wide receiver Jordy Nelson today, and a source is telling him that the deal is going to get done. Ian Rappaport adding to that report, saying that if it does in fact happen, the Raiders will then release wide receiver Michael Crabtree. Certainly not the big names fans are hoping for, but Rappaport also saying this morning that with Nate Solder gone, the Patriots would like to bring back one or both of Cam Fleming and Adrian Waddle. Reports also out that Jonathan Casillas is visiting with the Pats today. The linebacker has spent the last 3 years with the Giants after winning the Super Bowl with the Pats back in 2014. Boston Celtics falling in double OT to the Wizards at the Garden last night, 125-124. They are back at it tomorrow when they take on the Magic. Bruins are back in action tonight as they visit the Florida Panthers. You can catch that game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call, with coverage getting underway at 7 with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show. And the first round of the NCAA tournament about to get underway. URI taking on Trae Young in Oklahoma. That game tips off in about 10 minutes. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Want to stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online, 98.5thesportshub.com. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beadle on this Thursday afternoon, live at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill, where there's college basketball about to get underway. And, of course, we have Celtics basketball to talk about right now with Sean Grandy, who I believe is in the car, at least I was told, with Cedric Maxwell. First of all, Sean, it's Hardy along with Zoe. Is that, in fact, the case?
I think there's this misconception that the game ends and Max and I go our separate ways. We're bonded at the hip during the season. This is we have to go over the games afterwards. We got to get ready for the next game. It's a constant, the brotherhood.
Max himself said on Max himself said on Toucher and Rich the other morning that he doesn't really hang out with you all that much.
Hey, listen, anyone that has a job where you're working with someone sort of intensely for a long period of time, and I have a – we work very hard. We have so much time together that we do not control that, you try to minimize that. But
I'd love to get a picture of that. This is like Danny DeVito and Black Schwarzenegger in a car at the same time. We do that with Bob Soucy, from Twins, the movie Twins. Arnold's real big and the other guy's real little.
Oh, okay.
Get it?
Take yourself a little bit with that one. Just a little bit. I mean, you got to be, it's one day you wake up and you're talking about a movie. I remember I wrote a piece for the website a few years ago about how the Celtics had gotten really good and Miami had gotten really bad 10 years ago. And I wrote this piece about Trading Places, which is obviously a great movie from my childhood. And I thought, wow, isn't this clever? And all of a sudden I'm like, hey, old man, that movie's 25 years old. You're losing everything. Oh. So we're all older than we think.
It's once a week. It's once a month. I do the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor thing, and you would be shocked how many tweets and texts you get. Hey, moron! And I'm like, it's a scene from Animal House.
It's 40 years old, though. Zoe, what do you want?
Yeah, that's how old we're getting. Hey, let's talk about this team, guys. I mean, ton of injuries right now. How alarmed? And I ask this question this way because it seems like the tone regarding the Kyrie knee issue, and I know he's going to always have this based on his history, has changed a little bit from last week, where it was sort of joking about it last week, but now it seems like it's a little more concerned this week. Is that fair to say?
I think there's a little bit, but I think it's also all of this murder mystery that's happening around him, I think, is heightening everybody's concern because bodies are dropping left and right. Either injuries, I have a working theory that maybe these guys aren't hurt, that the Dolphins have signed a couple of them away. I'm not sure, but because I haven't seen them. But, yeah, I think the Kyrie thing is – listen, it is always going to be there, and I don't think Kyrie's going to be an 82-game-a-year guy, and you're going to pick your spots. The Celtics, the funny thing is this whole pursuit of Toronto that everybody was into until reality set in over the last 72 hours, people don't realize that, you know, Kyrie was going to get some rest. Al Horford was going to get rest anyway down the stretch. There's some back-to-back games coming up. These were sort of chosen ahead of time. I think the Kyrie thing wouldn't be that big a deal if there weren't six other injuries around him right now. You know, Kyrie, I assume we haven't gotten to the plane yet, but Kyrie is going to be on this trip. I think he's going to play one of the games this weekend. And I think just sort of pick his spots, both for him, because the most important thing is that he and this team be as healthy as possible come April 14th. But there's still a little bit of work to do to get that two seed, which is going to be important. So it's not like the Celtics can have all these, hey, great job, great effort games and not get some more wins. They're still going to need to win a few more games.
Yeah, how vital is it to get Marcus Smart back and playing again? Because as we heard from Brad Stevens yesterday, I don't know if Danny Ainge reiterated this morning, but another thumb injury, not reportedly, according to them, according to Coach, having nothing to do with the first one.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday, and it's right. They are two very bizarre and separate injuries. But to me, that's the one that right now, the Marcus Smart injury is the critical one. Daniel Tice had an amazing rookie year. It's devastating for the kid because he had been playing so hard. He had found his niche. But I think the Daniel Tice injury is not going to be the determining factor in how far this team can get this year, as vital as he was in his role. Without Marcus Smart, everything to me changes. Because as devastating as everything seems now, and look at the lineup the Celtics fielded last night in that game that they very nearly stole, you're still looking at Al Horford's going to be healthy. Kyrie Irving is, you know, barring something bizarre, Jaylen Brown's going to be back from concussion protocol. If you get Marcus Smart back, you've got most of your, you know, the team you thought you were going to have at least a month ago, not counting Gordon Hayward. So I think the Celtics are still largely, with Marcus Smart back, they can be the team that went, you know, 34-10 to start the year. But without him, that really does change the dynamic. So that to me is all the stuff we're talking about here. Kyrie and Al's not here, and Jaylen Brown's in protocol. To me, the Marcus Smart news next week is the critical piece of news.
Hey, and Monroe, I mean, this is what you got Monroe for too, right? This is why you got him at the deadline. This is why, you know, you add the depth and you need that big guy. I mean, he's going to get extended time here.
Yeah, it's depth. Now, remember, Greg, you know, saying Greg Monroe will play the minutes of Daniel Tice, they're completely opposite players in what they do and the way they play defensively, the way they spread the floor offensively. Greg Monroe has a very specific skill set, which we saw on display. We've seen it on display. It's very much, I think we talked about this in the segment when the Greg Monroe thing happened, that he's going to be that day game after a night game platoon right fielder that's going to help you win some games, but he can do a very specific thing very well in the NBA, and he's going to help you. And this is, you know, as we said last night was a Brad Stevens mad sciences game. And there's going to be a few of those here down the stretch. And as he said with you yesterday and kind of reiterated with me last night, he's using this as an opportunity to see what that 6-9 bench is component is going to look like when the calendar turns, you know, on April 14th to the playoffs.
As this team is trying to be held together here through all these injuries and stuff, again, how important is it going to be for Brad Stevens to have these guys back? He did it again last night. He wouldn't single out anybody, and there were a couple of people that, you know, certainly could have been singled out after last night's loss, but it seems like he continues to have the trust of this team, and it seems to me going to be all the more important as they're trying to figure this thing out through this stretch.
I think sometimes the things you say, like Max and I will stumble on something in the course of a game, and maybe when you're in it and the game is happening in front of you, you get your more true thoughts. So when you have kind of time to think about it afterwards, and I think in the moment as the game was going on last night, all I was thinking was that this season, when we look back on it 5 years from now, because who knows what the injury situation is going to be and how things are going to play, say, in game seven of the second round of the playoffs. But I think this season, years from now, will be looked at as one that was, you know, affected by injury, like 2009 with the Celtics and Kevin Garnett getting hurt. But when you look at the beginning with Gordon Hayward and how it will, who knows how it's going to end if injuries do end up playing a huge factor, you realize this season that the Celtics have given the fans here, nobody had any right to expect given the injuries. I think last night is the perfect example of if you kind of step back and say, what on earth happened last night? That this team, without six of your top nine guys, play this crazy double overtime game, and you figure the individual games the Celtics played throughout the year, it's been a pretty remarkable regular season. Now, I get it. It's not about regular seasons. It's about championships and things like that. But you got to take a moment to sort of appreciate what this group of players has done and how hard they have played and what they have accomplished given all the injuries.
Does Max eat while you're calling a game? Does he eat while like you're doing the play-by-play? Because Sosie always gets angry when I'm snacking. What's Max eat while he's doing a game?
I do have to side a little bit with your partner here, Zoe, on this, because I do think there is a time to eat and there is a time not to, but I think it's part of Max's gimmick now. I think people would be disappointed if he didn't.
I think the great ones juggle it well, you know.
And I think we talk about the pioneers that sort of kicked down the door. I mean, generally speaking, if you think about the history of broadcasting, not a lot of people have really eaten during a live broadcast. But if you think about Max sort of kicking down that door for you
and opening up
the possibility, these are the things you got to appreciate. Like, Kurt Flood made free agency possible, right? For all
right,
of the,
right,
you know, he's
right.
trying to change the economics. I think, Max, to you, it's very much the same thing. Like, he sort of has created this opportunity for you and other analysts around the world, really, to feel like, I don't have to wait a full 3 hours for a game to go by
before I can eat.
I can, and that's what they tell you, right? Graze during the day. It's a healthier way to eat anyway. So, I mean, he's not only a pioneer, he's changed everybody's life for the better.
Yeah, he is. He is the... the Rosa Parks of analysts eating on the air. You know, he changed the game for everybody, and for that Zoho's him a huge.
But he's in his fly suits. I wouldn't have the Mr. Sid deal if Max wasn't as impeccably dressed as he usually is.
Right.
You know.
He changed that game too. I thought when I switched from TV to radio, that was the one thing I thought. Well, at least I can sort of take it easy with the suits and stuff like that. But you can't, because Max raises that bar so high that.
Wow.
What do you do?
All right,
boys. Tell him we said hot balls. He'll know what that's reference to.
Hot balls.
And, Sean, we appreciate the time. We'll be listening tomorrow night.
All right, guys.
See you, pal. See you, Max.
See you,
okay. All right, Sean.
Oh, he's thrilled. He hates us.
Trying to think of somebody.
Jim, what is this here?
Susan B. Anthony is really what I was going for, and I couldn't come up with Susan B. Anthony.
So I was pointing the TV to you because they're playing in Pittsburgh, and there's nobody in the stands.
What do you mean? They're in Pittsburgh?
They're playing in Pittsburgh.
You are in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Oh, now you're excited?
Oh, my God. Well, that arena's gorgeous.
You know what? We're going to talk about this because we're live here at the scoreboard. We're going to be able to watch
it.
We're going to be able to watch everything here today.
It's empty?
Yeah, look at the packed house.
There's nobody there.
This is the ultimate better at home or in a bar on TV.
This is why you take the under.
Sporting event.
Dude.
Than it is in person. What? March Madness is beginning right now. Do you want to go to one game and watch one game? No, you want to watch them all unfold over the course of several hours.
It's a good question, because next week they're coming to Boston for the third, fourth
round. There's nobody there.
Be part of that either.
How do you not go there? Like, me and my buddies, we live in Pittsburgh. We'd all go to these. You know?
There's nobody there. Because it's in Pittsburgh, and it's Rhode Island
1230.
Playing Oklahoma. And what do people in Pittsburgh care about Rhode Island and Oklahoma?
You don't. You're right.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We're live at the scoreboard. Come join us here where you'll be able to see all the games as they happen. Rhode Island and Oklahoma currently tied. It's very early in the game.
Barn burner.
It's 0-0.
El Zilcho till El Zilcho.
33 seconds into the contest. It's Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beetle. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole? I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I do believe they're still going to make some moves. They're always interested in the trade market. They could sign a couple of guys, including a familiar face. I'll fill you in on that a little bit later. But they will make their moves coming up.
Was that a tease? Yeah, Was that a tease coming from you, Garofalo? An unsolicited
tease? If it doesn't happen, I'll tell you what it was. And if it does happen, I'll tell you what it was anyway.
Okay. All right, Rapshi, what do you...
Zolak and Bertrand live at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. Come join us. Starting to fill in here.
Sure is.
And you know how I know the games are underway, Zoe?
Jim Loth?
Yes. He sent out a tweet.
What was his tweet? Like, get ready for the games, guys.
You know what it was.
Exciting day.
You just showed it to me.
It's all capital letters, so it means he's pumped. Because Jim doesn't tweet in capital letters a lot.
Jim Louth, our producer, on site with this T-Bone back in the studio. But Jim sent out a tweet from the scoreboard. It's one word, all caps, madness. How many exclamation points? Six.
Five.
This is the best 2 days of two of the best days of the year. You know why? No, you know why? Working in sports is awesome, and you love it. But these are 2 days you can just sit and geek out and fan out on games because you know you're not talking about them on the air. People don't care about him. People don't care about these games here. You can just watch these
sure
games
don't.
For pure enjoyment.
They're here to get drunk. This is great. Keep drinking, peeps. They got liquid lunches.
You guys
here.
Think I'm crazy for liking the NCAA tournament?
I'm not. We're just breaking
millions
balls.
Of other people.
Oh my, yeah.
I usually take these. If I didn't go on vacation 2 weeks ago, I would have taken these 2 days off, like I do every year.
We got people that work in buildings that you know throughout radio that put these brackets together when they should be like doing jobs instead. They're just like, hey, everybody, get your brackets in. Give me $20. Here's the Manila envelope. Put your money in there.
I will agree with you, Jim. This is a great couple of days with NFL free agency and the start of the tournament. I still say the sneaky best sporting week of the year is going into the Masters, the start of MLB baseball. You've got
Monday, Final Four weekend, right?
You got Final Four weekend, and it's that 8 days, starting with Saturday of the Final Four games, and then you got the championship Monday. You've got Major League Baseball opening day and opening days, and that leads into Masters weekend Thursday through Sunday.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. I'm right here. Go.
See, and this is part of the problem with, like, you know, when the Masters when it is. This annoying fluctuation of the Easter holiday. Easter Sunday.
Yes.
Sometimes lands on the, like, and you get them both at the same time. You don't want that. You know, you want to go to Easter dinner. You want to go to church and you know, do your little Easter egg hunt. And you're going to have to hurry up and rush and watch the Masters. I know it comes on later. And you watch it later in the day. But it's too much in one day. Why is Easter the fluctuating holiday? Like, the 4th of July is
well,
always
it's
the
very,
4th of July.
Do you know the formula? And you, this is,
well, I understand what it is. It's,
what is it?
It has to do with Passover, too.
No. It's the, and this is,
sure it does. It's the old calendar versus new calendar.
It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox, which is the first day of spring. All you have to do is remember
every year the day Jesus died.
The first Sunday.
And then when he arose.
After the first full moon, after the first day
of
spring.
It's 40 days after Fat Tuesday.
I have no idea how it works in conjunction with Fat Tuesday, Lent.
Ash Wednesday's next day. 40 days, 40 nights, right?
Sunday, any of that stuff. All I know is that if you want to know when Easter is, you look at a calendar, and it will be the first Sunday after the first full moon after the first day of spring.
Have you ever seen a man's death then resurrection change more year to year as far as recognizing that day? That's frustrating. After everything he did, we can't even give him the day.
Listen, like Shaughnessy said, it was tough to keep track. It was, you know.
Right.
That's a guy that hates
BC.
The fourth. He
BC
hates everything about the summer, you know. But, hey, we got some And that was
NFL news.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Danny Woodhead, potentially interested in coming back to the Patriots. Patriots showing early interest in Woodhead, and that kind of triggers after the departure of Deion Lewis that you got spots you need to fill. So what does he fill? And you remember Danny at the end of his tenure here. He was more of a third down guy, sort of, you know, came after Kevin Falk, accepted that third down role. He was such a short, slimy little runner that he would hide behind guys that they eventually start morphing him into more of a every down back. He wasn't strictly a third down guy. That's where he started. But then he kind of became that every down back. And that's a big question here. Who's your feature back? Because James White's really still your third down specialist and receiving back. Can you trust Burkhead? And I like the way Rex Burkhead runs between tackles. He's downhill. He's picking a spot and he's going. But, you know, sort of gets hurt here and there. And it's 4 weeks in, 3 weeks out, 4 weeks in. So you need depth and you need other guys. And Danny could kind of do both there. He's kind of a middler.
Which one of these guys is going to help people feel better about the loss? And not one guy is going to be able to do it all, but the collective loss of Nate Solder, Danny Amendola, Malcolm Butler, all the guys who have left. Who am I leaving out? The big four. Solder, Amendola, Butler,
Deion Lewis,
thank you. How many guys is it going to take, or is there one guy out there that's going to make people feel better about it? Because I'm sorry, Danny Woodhead does not blow my skirt up to the point where I feel better yet about those four guys signing
again,
elsewhere.
Again, you sign poor Rex Burkhead, you sign him back, and it goes under the radar because it's on the day that Nate Solder leaves and goes to the Giants. It's like an Ndamukong Suh signing. This is what's going to make you feel better. A guy just asked for his release from the Dolphins, and it is being... What is Miami doing? Pouncey, the center, they're all-world center, is seeing the center money out there, and he just asked for his release. They're going to grant it. Now, you're not going to get Pouncey. But it's more of a question of, hey, what are you doing, Miami? Is your culture that bad, your locker room? You get rid of your best offensive player in Jarvis Landry.
Yep.
Getting rid of your best defensive player in Ndamukong Suh,
yes,
regardless of what you think of him. And, like, your second best player on offense is your center, Pouncey. I think we got issues.
Yeah, they're retooling, rebuilding. They're just
retooling. They're supposed to take the next step because that's the way it was trending with Gase.
That's the way it absolutely
was. They were a playoff team last year,
at the start of last season. Yeah, that's where they were looking. All right. Let's grab one call. Let's get Paulie real quick here. Can we do that, please? Paulie, go ahead. You're on with Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and for Beetle. What's up, Paulie?
Yeah, before we get going, Jim, was that a cut from Magpie Salute, that musical lead into this segment?
It could have been.
It sure sounds like the Crows, I'll tell you that. I called, they use that time to time. I called as the producers on the afternoon show. It is the Crows, and as I haven't picked up the new Magpie Salute album. Shame on me. But sure, yeah. If it ain't them, it sure sounds like them. But anyway, we get to the defense now.
I don't know what you said. I'm sorry. Can you repeat it?
You didn't hear what I just said?
I did not. I'm sorry. Do you understand what he said?
No.
I'm sorry.
Was that a cut from the Magpie Salute? The musical lead in the segment, was that a cut?
No, that's not what you asked. You asked that 2 minutes earlier. I got that part.
Okay.
I don't know. We're not in studio right now. I don't know.
Let's get to the
It's generic Tom Tebow with the rejoins. I'm going to talk. You're going to be quiet for a second, okay?
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, I'm going to stop talking, and now you talk. Go.
Okay. First of all, I want everybody to know that Ndamukong Suh is Scott Zolak's heart. Zolak loves him so much because he's a man after his own heart. Scott Zolak, his high school career at defensive end was exactly the same as Ndamukong Suh. He was one bad bastard on that defensive end, defensive side of the football, and Zolak loves that stuff. Everybody should know that. From my understanding, that's why Mr. Zolak played the game.
Right.
I
did.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad used to show me how to tape up my forearms and go up underneath guys' chins.
You could have.
All right, Paulie, thank you.
Limit.
I pulled the ejection handle. We are a minute 50 in, and it was just.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. We love you, Paulie. Thank you. Let's continue our broadcast here from the scoreboard. Coming up, Tim McComb with the Hub headlines here. All the games are on. This is the place to come. Scoreboard, Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. Hardy, Zolak, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Madness.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, we start with the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting that the Raiders are trying to finalize a deal with wide receiver Jordy Nelson today, and a source tells him that the deal is going to get done. Ian Rappaport adding to that report, saying that if it does in fact happen, the Raiders will then release wide receiver Michael Crabtree. Reports out the Patriots and the Falcons have reportedly reached out to free agent running back Danny Woodhead. It's certainly not the big names people are hoping for around here, but Ian Rappaport says that with Nate Solder gone, Patriots would like to bring back one or both of Cam Fleming and LaAdrian Waddle. Dolphins center Mike Pouncey, meanwhile, has requested his release from the team, and Miami is expected to grant it today. Celtics falling in double OT to the Wizards at the Garden last night, 125-124. Marcus Morris, 31 points in the loss for Boston. Celtics are back at it tomorrow when they take on the Magic. Boston Bruins back on the ice tonight as they visit the Florida Panthers. Boston 7-1 in their last 8 games. You can catch that one right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call with coverage getting underway at 7 with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show. And the first round of the NCAA tournament is underway. URI leads Oklahoma 16-15 with about 12 minutes to go in the first half. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Cool Sculpting. Freeze away your fat for good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team today. Call 617-964-1440 or josephharusomd.com. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Zolak, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
It's a pass. He's got it! He intercepted! Are you kidding me? No way! You've got to be kidding me! Oh!
This one's for Paulie, who I don't know what he wanted to talk about, but he spent the first minute and a half of his phone call.
Eat Pie Salute?
Talking about Magpie Salute. No, it's a band. So we're T-Bone's playing Magpie Salute for him as we come back here. Thank you, Paul. It's Hardy in for Beatle today. Beatle's in Las Vegas where he's going nuts for March Madness. We are watching our March Madness games here at the Scoreboard in Woburn.
It's madness.
You do it every year, though.
Yeah, we do. It's like third year running now, fourth year running?
Oh, God, it's more than that.
Yeah, you are right.
I've been here for two or three of the years, and I'm not here with you every year. It depends on who's on vacation and what.
Frank does a fantastic job. He has us back each and every year. He's expanded it. You know, we've been down to Victory, but this is the main spot right here.
We're going to let Jim have the wings. It just got delivered to the table, and you and I are going to talk about Malcolm Butler. How you feel about that?
I see
that?
What you did just there, and that's really distracting me that you put the wings down there as I'm getting ready to talk about Butler.
I know that you were all fired up on Butler before Billy Jaffe got here, and to bring you up to speed, Jeff Howe spoke with him last night, and here's the quote from Malcolm Butler. Again, Zoe, feel free to treat this as a tape. You can stop the tape whenever you want.
Okay.
Quote, Malcolm Butler talking to Jeff Howe. Quote, I never got a reason. I feel like this was the reason. I got kind of sick. I went to the hospital. They probably thought I was kind of late on the game plan. I wasn't as locked in as I should be and could have been a matchup deal.
Stop. So let's preface this with, as you get rolling here, now this is Malcolm Butler telling it to Jeff Howe. And by the way, Malcolm Butler has not spoken to Bill Belichick since the Super Bowl. So go ahead.
It could have been anything. But Bill Belichick has been doing this for a very long time. He took a veteran out of Super Bowl 49. And put in a first-year rookie, and that turned out right, so you could never question his decision. It didn't work out right. It didn't work out the best for me or him or the New England Patriots. But I can say he won more than he lost, so it is what it is. I always have love for New England. Bill Belichick, Mr. Kraft, all those guys. Life just goes on. End quote.
Now, he said that after he got handed guaranteed money, too. Okay, so he hasn't talked up to this point.
After he knows
the world's been lifted off his shoulders.
Right, he's going to have $30 million,
and I
to
love
him
Malcolm.
Guaranteed.
I love Malcolm. I sent him a message. I said, "Man, you make me smile every time I walk in the room and I see you," because he always had that smile on his face. And again, he's right on everything. He credits everybody. Bill knows what he's doing. He put me in as a rookie, took out a veteran. But that's a substitutional thing, a matchup thing, play to play, series to series. Bill's such a good defensive-minded coach, as is Matt Patricia, who is now a head coach at your former team, your city, Detroit. And not a single snap. All those back and forths, the snip, snap, snip, snaps that Philly was running. All the misdirection. Did they stop them? Did that team punt? Punt? Did they punt the ball? No.
Not once.
Not once during that 3.5-hour extravaganza called Super Bowl 52 did any of those defensive guys think that number 21 couldn't have gone in for number 29 or 37. When, by the way, they were getting spun around and their heads turned like chickens with their head cut off. I don't know.
You needed one guy to get in there to either prevent a pass from being completed, which may not have been Malcolm Butler's.
Malcolm knows it. He said it after the game when he was angry. I could have changed that game.
He could have made a tackle after a catch.
Yes.
That's what he was maybe best at.
There are too many games, like the Pittsburgh game when that receiver gets tackled right before he gets out of bounds, forced to call the timeout, and Malcolm makes that tackle. Who's knocking the ball out on Safarian Jenkins on the goal line against the Jets? Malcolm's ability to compete and tackle. Who was your best roll corner, your run stuffing corner in any situation going back the last four? It's Malcolm. Malcolm is the closest thing from a compete standpoint and physical standpoint that I've seen since Ty Law. I'm not comparing him to Ty Law. I think Ty Law is a Hall of Famer. Malcolm's not a Hall of Famer. But as far as an aggressiveness, a cockiness, a swagger, I'm not going to back down. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. All that. That's Malcolm. Malcolm had that gene in him. And he didn't insert him once during that ass kicking. That was an ass kicking your defense took.
Yeah. But you weren't blown out. And all you needed was one stop to flip the switch and give yourself a chance to win that game with something other than a last gasp, desperation, Hail Mary that would have necessitated a two-point conversion just to force overtime. I don't want to relive the end of the game or the game at all.
I mean, if Harbin doesn't get that deflection and pick, they're scoring 50 on your ass. Okay? That thing was heading north. It's not like it was going down. Harbin stops him on that drive. I mean, you're scoring 46-47. It's even more deplorable. I'm saying, man, this is crazy. Imagine if he had a really good year. What would he command him on the open market?
I don't know.
He's getting 12 now.
But here's the thing that you get into this comment that Jeff Howe has from Malcolm Butler, the quote, and to me, the first sentence is the most important one. I never got a reason. I feel like this was the reason. I was kind of sick. I had to go to the hospital. Maybe I was behind on the game plan. But first and foremost, I never got a reason. The guy who started all those games. The guy who was the reason why you were able to pull out a victory in Super Bowl 49, which he references later in this quote. The guy who has been in on... What's the percentage, though?
98 North. I don't know if it's it's not 98.5 because that's us.
I think
it's 98.6.
Started all but two games. One of them, the Super Bowl. Since going back to Super Bowl 49 the following season, every single game he started except for one, and then the Super Bowl, I never got a reason.
And it sticks a little more, maybe, because this isn't Pittsburgh you're playing as far as a matchup thing. Yeah, we saw Atlanta this year. Carolina was huge. Houston had talent. I mean, all these teams had such high-end talent. And this is no slap against Foles. Foles played great. He deserved to be the MVP. He was phenomenal that game. He kicked your ass. That trio of receivers they have, pretty good. It's more of a slap in the face that you allowed them to sort of outdo what Brady did and what you do on offense.
And quite
because you're hard-headed and you didn't want to put the guy in.
And quite frankly, as bad as it is, when he says, I never got a reason, change the pronoun. We never got a reason.
No, but he told me that. He told me that in post-game.
Selfishly, I want to know the reason.
Jim, you were there. We were 8 feet from him. I went over and thanked him because I knew he was gone. I said, hey, I wouldn't have a chance to have a ring as a broadcaster if it wasn't for you.
Right.
The play you made starting all this at 49.
Could you imagine, as we were sitting there that night, and Malcolm Butler's there, and he's standing there at the after party, and you talked to him that night, but we're all looking at each other, and we're all talking about why he didn't play. Could you imagine if I told you then, hey, Zoe, a month and a half from now, we're going to be sitting at the scoreboard doing March Madness, and we're still not going to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play.
He's going to get a massive deal.
You had told me I was nuts.
Yeah,
we're going to we'll know. We'll hear something by then. We haven't even heard anything. Nothing but rumors and speculation.
Unless only Malcolm and Bill know. And when we traveled, guys would get sick. We would always take the sick player with us because you have all your doctors, your high-end doctors, on the plane with you. Like, you're going out. You uproot the organization. You're going out for Super Bowl week. You know, you throw a mask on a guy and you stick him in the back corner of the plane and you sort of quarantine him, cover him up, and then you get him in the hotel and then you take care of him on site. Did they feel that this wasn't a sickness or something and he stayed back and he didn't come out till Tuesday night? I mean, is there more there with that? But I don't want to do this because then you speculate. That people think I'm trying to say something bad because I have such a hard time saying, you know what? 37 and 29 are so much better in these situations in the greatest game that will ever be played. So you stay over there 21. I can't accept it. I know.
And that's, so why, that's why I'm pissed off because
this is why people throw that out there. And I'm not throwing that out there because I love Malcolm. I believe now something egregious did not happen where something came to fisticuffs. But this is what happened when something crazy, this crazy of a decision,
And we don't get an explanation. Nobody
packages,
has.
Packages.
And in some cases, they don't even ask. Like in Detroit.
A long time.
In Detroit, they won't even ask Matt Patricia about blows my mind.
You know what's crazy is I know the packages because packages in 49 were that goal line package that they installed because they ran that play and they said, Malcolm, go, that's a package. You don't come up with that crazy-ass package, get your ass smoked, and don't adjust because that guy's not going to go in the game. I can't accept it. I'm not doing it.
617.
We're loading on it. Bring it up again. You open the wound.
617-779-0985.
Stupid.
Live at the scoreboard. Come join us here. March Madness underway on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Scott Zolak. Mark Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Beetle out, Hardy M. We're live at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn for March Madness. First of Jim's 12 bets that he has all on, was it a parlay, Jim? Did you tease any of it? What do you got?
This one's part of it.
Okay.
This one's part of it.
Looking good, the under.
No, that one's not. Just a URI straight up in this game.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Part of that one.
URI first half under.
You got first half unders in all the early games, yeah.
Sounds exciting. Madness.
It's more.
I love watching games rooting for no scoring.
Right. Great. That's what makes being at the tournament or being at in Caesars at a sports book is so fun where Beetle is.
Yeah.
I don't know what book he's at, but you get a bunch of lunatics, thousands of them standing around cheering for buckets to miss in the URI game. It's like, what are they talking about? Who cares? Who cares about this game? Oh, no. We need Rhode Island, Oklahoma to stay under 74 in the first half in order to, make money to bet on the next game.
Jim, give me a scouting breakdown on the chubby, clunky kid from URI 34.
He's got good touch around the rim, but he's got trouble running. He can't defend these Oklahoma big guys.
He's come up short on his first four. Jim goes great touch. He's clanked three off the back of the rim.
Poor runner.
He looks gassed.
Let's go to some of the calls. Zoe, you've opened up.
Hold on. Real quick here.
What?
Give the Tiger update because I need it. I need it like I need air. Tiger Woods hit a birdie putt, a 75-foot birdie putt.
70-foot birdie.
You wanna, and for all you robot fans that don't like Tiger, that enjoy Spieth, to put it in perspective, Roy Williams opened up his March Madness press conference. Say, you mean to tell me that Tiger Woods just hit a 75-footer, he's minus four, and there's a double bogey that's out there on him? Oh, boy, he's back.
Yeah.
Back, people.
A lot of people tweeting about Tiger right now. And, by the way, the updated odds on the Masters is he is the favorite at 8-1. Just the fact that that is a thing.
Right.
I don't even care so much what happens between now and then. The fact that a few weeks out from the Masters, he's the favorite.
Yeah.
Even if it's not for real, even if it's just
in
case.
Crap right
yeah,
now.
we don't want to be right. paying out a ton right. of money. Even if he should really be, 100-1, so what?
Yeah. I mean,
he's there right now.
It'd be so great to see him.
Beautiful
in the hunt,
thing.
Masters Sunday. That'd be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome.
Let's let people pick at this scab that you started to peel back a little bit on Malcolm Butler. And Jeff Howe had a great quote from Malcolm Butler talking about it, the first and foremost thing. He said, I don't know why. I was never told why. So that's where we're at still, 6 weeks after the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles. We go to Lee and Quincy. Again, Zoe, this is partially your fault. Go ahead, Lee. You think you know why?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, Malcolm Butler saying, I never got a reason why. I mean, he knows why. Like, it's like when a friend of yours does something to, like, throw you under the bus or, like, crosses you and you, like, don't talk to them anymore. And they're like, I don't know why she doesn't talk to me anymore. It's like, yeah, you know why. I don't
you
need
do
to
know.
You
know
why.
Oh, like,
you
know that's good, Lee.
And there's some stuff in there where he's talking. He says, hey, it could have been, I got there late. I didn't get into the game plan. And maybe I didn't put my best into it. He said that. He said
that
to Howell.
Isn't that so Bill? To be like, he knows why. I don't need to say anything. He knows exactly
what happened. Why I'm not buying it, too. Do you think that they handed him the game plan on Wednesday, 2 weeks to get ready for Philadelphia? when you're in it and you're getting ready for the Super Bowl, you practice the whole week prior. You're already installing for game plan. Now, you go over with a fine-tooth comb, and you fine-tune that game plan, and you throw out maybe what hasn't been looking good on film. Maybe you had a crap practice the week before.
But I don't know how many.
I have to tell you, I didn't get into the game plan until late. That's a head-scratcher for me, too.
But I don't know how many practices he was in, Zoe. He was sick. He was probably at home for a day or two.
Okay.
And then went to the hospital. So I don't even know how many practices he participated in.
It's like saying Randy Moss, who starts 17 games for you, okay, is your best. Hey, one of your top two receivers, keep it fair, is Malcolm one of your top two corners? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So to keep in perspective. Or say Julian Edelman. Let's go to Edelman because Randy Moss is a Planet player. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to Malcolm. So say Edelman.
Okay. Is sick for a couple of days.
So just use Welker because he was suspended for what? A series?
We're not going to kill ourselves here. He's not going to start.
He did that for comments. So if Butler was benched for the whole game, how much on top of, like, how much worse than the comments Welker made did he have? You know what I mean?
To magnify it. Right. That's my point. Like, if Edelman's sick for the first 3 days of Super Bowl week, he comes out late. Well, you know, probably went into the game plan. I mean, Head wasn't in it. And I didn't give an answer, you know, and you can't get a first down. So, end of the fourth, going into that fourth quarter, Brady's 10 of 37 with the backup. The backup's getting his ass kicked, can't get open, and you're one for 11 on third down.
But Lee's point is this, and I think
it's good to put Edelman in at the end of the game.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But Lee's point is this, and I think it's a valid one. His first statement is like, I was never told what. He knows why. He does know why. And Belichick knows why. And so all the other players know why too. And all the other players won't say anything. He says, look, if they're not saying, I'm not saying.
Well, they
Bill knows why, and I'm not. And it's far be it from me to be the one who says why if nobody is willing to come out and say it. But everybody knows why.
Yeah. It's another tough thing too, because
including Malcolm,
they've gone on record saying we knew he wasn't starting. So they knew the way the week was trending. It's not good. And everything else was internalized.
Doesn't explain everything, but
it's odd.
It helps to make a little bit of sense of
this. This is one of the craziest endings and departures of a player that we've seen here in Boston.
Nuts. 90 seconds, no commercials. Tim McCone with the update, and then we're back with our fourth and final hour from the scoreboard in Woburn.
Fast.
I know, March Madness. Come join us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.